It's WGXC 90.7 FM.
Right.
Acra.
Keep going.
Hudson, Catskill, Phoenicia, and lots of other places.
That's an interesting addition.
And Valencia.
And
or
Valencia.
As they usually call it when you first land in Columbia County.
Valati.
Valati.
Very well done. Did you mention the online way
and to hear? Online at WGXC.org.
Yes.
Tune in to the daily Hudson Valley Coronavirus Report from the River Newsroom from Lissa Harris of The River and Roger Hannigan-Gilson of the Other Hudson Valley website. You can go to the rivernewsroom.com and the otherhudsonvalley.com websites for more information. Tune in to the River Newsroom's Hudson Valley Coronavirus Report every night at midnight at WGXC, also at 5 a.m., 7 a.m., and 9 a.m. for all the latest reports about COVID-19 regulations, new laws, new mandates. There will be interviews with political officials and more on the River Newsroom's Hudson Valley Coronavirus Report, weekdays on WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of FET Press in Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC local news. Go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. Governor Andrew Cuomo announced May 23rd that the Mid-Hudson region will most likely begin reopening May 26th. That means Westchester, Rockland, Dutchess, Orange, Putnam, Sullivan, and Ulster counties join Albany, Rensselaer, Greene, and Columbia counties in the Capital Region in a Phase 1 reopening, which includes construction, manufacturing, forestry, fishing, pickup retail, and wholesale trades. Quote, this is very encouraging news, but this makes it even more important that we all do our part to wear masks, maintain physical distancing, and wash hands, unquote, said Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan on Facebook. Cuomo was vague about when the Capital Region might reach a Phase 2 opening, with professional services such as hair salons, finance and insurance, retail, administrative support, real estate, and rental leasing restarting. Quote, Phase 2 is more a judgment call of when have the numbers stabilized, unquote, Cuomo said at his May 23rd press conference. Quote, can you explain an increase or is the increase problematic, unquote. Columbia County held steady with 360 cases of COVID-19 as of May 23rd, but added one more death. Greene County added three more coronavirus cases on May 23rd for a total of 263. The Greenville Pioneer is reporting that the Census Bureau is sending reminder notices to roughly 55 million households nationwide that have not yet responded to the 2020 census. According to the Bureau's online response map that is tracking participation, almost 79 million households have already responded by phone, by mail, or online. States with the highest response rate include Minnesota with 64%, Iowa with 61.2%, Wisconsin with 60.8%, Nebraska with 60.7%, and Michigan at 60%. The response rate in New York is 53.5%. Greene County has a response rate of just 32.9%. Columbia County has a response rate of 44.9%, and in Albany County, the rate is 50.3%. Households that have not yet participated will tentatively receive an in-person visit by a census taker to collect information later this summer, but some places where census takers were originally intended to personally hand-deliver forms will now receive a letter in the mail. The Census Bureau strongly encourages the public to respond online at the census website. Read the full story in the Greenville Pioneer. Amelia Teasdale is reporting for the Columbia paper that the Ichabod Crane Board of Education May 19th approved a $42 million proposed budget for the 2020-2021 school year. spending plan meets the state mandated tax levy cap of 2.57%. It does not include any cuts in staff or programs. Expenditures reflect an increase of about $785,000 or 1.89% over the current budget. Voters will also be asked to approve the purchase of four school buses at the cost of $444,388. Five people are running for three open seats on the school board. Incumbents Tammy Crawford and Susan Ramos, as well as newcomers Elaine Berlin, John Chandler, and Kelly Fernbach. District business manager Michael Brennan said the district does have a plan if state aid is cut, and the last resort would be to cut staff and programming. He noted the district does have reserve funds that can be used, and school district officials can look at reducing some equipment and supply costs. Brennan said all qualified residents will be mailed a ballot on May 26th, and voters must mail their ballots to the district office in the postage-paid return envelope provided by the district. He said all ballots must be received by June 9th at 5 p.m. to be counted. Unlike other elections, postmark dates will not make a ballot on time. Ballots must be in possession of the school district by 5 p.m. on June 9th to be counted. The board will hold a budget public hearing June 2nd. Details will be posted at ichabodcrane.org. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. Susan Arbetter is reporting for Spectrum News that the school budget vote will be conducted by mail-in ballot on June 9th, according to an executive order signed by Governor Andrew Cuomo. A recent survey of 50 school districts by the New York State School Boards Association found that most of those districts will stay within the 2% tax cap. Four districts will not. They include Rensselaer, Fort Edward, Johnstown, and Windhoek. It's not clear what will happen if voters in those communities reject the spending plans. Quote, the executive order was silent on revotes, unquote, said Robert Schneider, executive director of the New York State Boards Association. Quote, so we point to education law, which will allow a district to put a revote up for the community, unquote. Revotes will cost the very communities that can least afford it more money. Quote, as you know, it's an absentee ballot scenario for all qualified voters, and if a district goes to revote, then they're going to have to pay for additional postage costs and printing costs, unquote, Schneider said. The school budget process is especially fraught with uncertainty this year. At the end of April, Cuomo warned that the school aid could be cut by 20%, the equivalent of $6 billion out of an almost $30 billion school aid budget. A little more than 2 weeks before the budget vote, those cuts have yet to be announced. Read more about this story at spectrumnews.com and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a sunny Sunday with a high of 68, a low around 50. Memorial Day, there is a chance of rain, 40% chance between 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. Chance of showers then. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high near 72 and a low around 57. Tuesday should be mostly sunny with a high near 83 and a low around 60. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Gunel Reznikoff of Chatham, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We know now that in the early years of the 20th century, this world was being watched closely by intelligences greater than man's, and yet as mortal as his own. We know now that as human beings busied themselves about their various concerns, they were scrutinized and studied, perhaps almost as narrowly as a man with a microscope might scrutinize the transient creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. With infinite complacence, people went to and fro over the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
Alexander Graham Bell, note the name and note it well. Father of the modern age, his inventions were all the rage. Of course there was the telephone, he things for that alone, but there's 50 other things as well. From Alexander Graham Bell. Now Edison made cylinders, but Bell made records flat, which we remember gratefully when we play our floppy or CD. Of course there was the telephone. He'd be finished with that alone, but there's 50 other things as well. From Alexander Graham Bell. Scotland, moved away to Canada and the USA. Studied speech, took a wife, helped the deaf all his life. Came up with a threshing machine before he made it to a team. After years of sweat and toil, he invented the hydrofoil. The respirator was his chance to save his baby's life. And just like the brothers Wright, he got heavily into flight. Oh, of course there was the telephone. He'd be famous for that alone, but there's 50 other things as well. From Alexander Graham Bell. It is tantamount to slander to call him just a scientist. Why, his inventions top the list. The Edison, he was a thief, and Tesla nuts beyond belief. But Alexander was a gent, so philanthropic, so well met. Found in Science magazine, he wrote a book for kids, because he was a caring fella. Gave a hand to Helen Keller, because there was the telephone. He'd be famous for that alone, but there's 50 other things as well. From Alexander Graham Bell. Should be mayhem without tetrahedral cells, x-rays, faxes, decibels. I think I'd say, and it's no fiction, without fear of contradiction, he improved our lives a smidgen from the age of the carrier pigeon. Television was the thing that he had all prepared, but he left that to his pupil, John Loki Baird. Oh, of course there was the telephone. He'd be famous with that alone, but there's 50 other things as well. From Alexander Graham Bell. 50 other things as well. From Alexander Graham Bell.
I love books. Do you love books? Books are great. Read more books. Listen to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm AJ. I live in Elizabeth. I go to school at Libri.
I'm Lena. I am from Hudson. I go to school at MC Smith, maybe middle school.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Yay!
Books we love.
Books we hate. Lena.
Bookish things.
And we're usually here with our friends Amelia and Mashuda and sometimes Fahim. But I know at least Amelia and Mashuda have a test today. So even though school is not, it doesn't have their doors open, they're still testing. So we wish them luck. We're going to send out all of our good test vibes to them right now. Zoom, 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 zoom. I hope I sent the good ones. Otherwise, they'll be mad. Anyways, we'll look forward to talking with them next week. And hopefully with that test under their belt, they'll have more time to read some good books.
Well, shouldn't they supposed to be reading for the test?
They might be reading a textbook. I think it was their environmental science class.
Then they get to read about science. Yay! Ooh.
Do you like reading about science?
Meh.
I see Lena shaking her head. I like some science reading.
Only if it's comic books with made up people.
I feel like when it's written for people that aren't scientists, I enjoy it. When it's written for a scientific audience, I'm less into it because it sometimes gets into a little too much detail, more than I want.
Yeah.
But when it's written for us non-sciencey people, maybe you're sciencey though. Do you identify as sciencey?
No.
What about you, AJ?
No.
Are you a scientist?
Only in the science of food, otherwise, nada! Either the science of food or lions, cheetahs, and tigers and stuff.
Oh, learning about animals?
And food!
And food. Yeah, I like food science. Do you know what other science I like?
What?
Library science.
I knew you were going to say something like book science.
Is library science even a thing?
No.
Yes,
it's
it
just
is.
Book science.
No, library science. Library and information science. That's what my master's degree is in.
Oh, okay. Sure.
It's so I'm a master of science.
Mm-hmm. No, you aren't.
A particular brand of science. I'm a master. Anyways, let's talk about some books. Speaking of book science.
Yay.
Who wants to start?
Can I?
Yes.
I want to talk about the book Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. And, well, actually all the Harry Potter series, I read 1 through 4 over and over and over and over.
When did you first read it? Recently or a long time ago?
Long time ago. I love Harry Potter.
And did you stop reading it, 5, for a certain reason?
Well, I don't have the book.
Oh, that's a good reason. Do you want to read more?
Well, I know what the 5th book is. The 5th book was a library rent, but I want the 6th book mm-hmm. and the Half-Blood Prince.
Yeah.
Harry Potter Half-Blood Prince. I have to look that up.
So I think most of our listeners probably know what they're about, but could you tell us what you like about them?
Well, I'll give a summary of sure. the background story. So
yeah, for anyone living under a rock out there.
Very funny. So, as I was saying, Harry Potter is a wizard, but he doesn't know it because he defeated He Who Must Not Be Named Lord Voldemort. Don't kill me, Harry Potter fans, for saying that! And, well, He Who Must Not Be Named or You Know Who is not a, he's a very bad wizard, but Harry doesn't even know that until he's 11 because he lives with the Muggles, what wizard people call non-wizard folks. And then he has a bunch of adventures with his friends at Hogwarts, the wizard boarding school. They do get released in the summer, though. What's school like without summer vacation?
But Harry would probably rather just stay at school all year.
Yes.
He doesn't have a very fun summer.
Because he lives with not that nice at all.
Dursleys.
So he still goes to school even though the coronavirus is a thing.
No, they would probably have magical wizard so they could appear in each other's fireplaces or something like that.
They could also probably just do a protective spell over the school and then just keep outsiders out of the school.
And them also.
So what do you like about Harry Potter?
Well, I especially like the beginning of the first book because I just like how he's living his normal life, getting bullied. But then this is a quote of Hagrid, the gamekeeper at Hogwarts. Harry, you're a wizard. I can't do very good impersonations, but hey. Harry, you're a wizard. And he's like, what the?
Is that a direct quote?
No. I would have said if it was.
Yeah, so you like the call to adventure, the realization that he's something special. Yeah. Have you read those books, Lena?
I read book 1 and then lost interest.
How can you lose interest?
Because, so I got the big book version where it was, like, super big.
Oh, I have that version. I have 2 of them, actually.
Yeah, I lost, like, interest because of, like, the first 4 pages, my head started hurting.
Oh.
So, like, I think
did you read that in the dark?
No, I read that in class when it was reading time. Well, in my free time, because I actually kept up with my work or actually could do it. Because my teacher gives me too much work.
Oh, ho, ho.
I read
all of them. Did you read it recently? What? No. Lucky.
They were so good.
Well, you have that advantage because you work at the library.
Well, it was before I worked at the library, though.
Now you can reread them.
Yeah.
Without having to loan it.
Well, I have my own copies at home.
Do people even pay for library books?
Do they pay for them? No, they're free to borrow. You only pay for them if you lose them.
Can you pay to keep them if
no,
you want to?
I mean, I guess, but
then I don't want to return them so that I have to pay for them so that I keep them. Yay!
Although it would be cheaper to buy them and then you'd get a fresh copy. But I love that series and I didn't read it for a while when it first came out. I didn't think it was going to be a series that I liked because it seemed like it was meant for kids and I'm not a kid.
The easiest way to say that.
Yeah. But then I started listening to the audiobooks when I had a long commute because I had an hour commute each day at one point in my life. And I listened to it. And I think at that point, there's 7 books, right, for the original series?
Well, for the original, I think there's 7. But then they add a couple of new ones like the 8 and 9th book because...
The Cursed Child.
This is spoiler alert. Just
ahead.
In the end, Harry marries someone that is completely different than what I would have expected.
But yeah, so I listened to them on audio, and I listened to the first 6 leading up to the release of the 7th one. And so by the time the 7th one came out, I was ready for it. And it was so good. The only thing I didn't love was I wasn't that into Quidditch, which I know a lot of people are into Quidditch, but...
I love Quidditch. Do you know that people actually play Quidditch? For
I do know that. It looks kind of silly, but it's probably really fun.
What's Quidditch?
Yeah, Quidditch is a game where... Well, here's the way that it goes. So everyone fly on broomsticks. There's the beaters, the chasers, the keepers, and the seekers. The beaters are the ones that keep small, as you could say, aggressive balls from running into the other players with bats, and the keepers block the quaffle, which earns 10 points from going in the goal from the other team, and the quaffle is used to score 10 points anytime that it goes in through the hoop for the other team, and those are the chasers, I think, and the seekers go after the golden snitch, which... earns an extra 150 points, so they nearly always win unless they have 1,000 and you have 150 points.
Yeah.
Which is possible.
And it's usually, in the books and the movies, it's played while they're flying on brooms. And, like, special brooms. But in real life, when people play it, they just run around. And often the golden snitch is a person when it's played in real life.
Ouch! And the bludgers are real people. Ouch!
Yeah, I don't know.
The quaffles are real people. Ouch! I bet the quaffles are actually regular balls because, sorry, but the quaffles are real balls.
Yeah, I don't know.
Regular balls in the actual game of Quidditch in Harry Potter world. Mm-hmm. I want to go to Harry Potter world and I want to live at Hogwarts. I think it would be nice meeting up with Dumbledore. I would so want to be in Gryffindor.
Okay, so for some reason, I feel like all the Harry Potter fans are going to come at me.
But, why?
But I didn't like Harry Potter. I didn't even finish reading the first book. And I fell asleep during all the movies. And I didn't like the movies.
I love the movies. They're especially good with a little bit of popcorn.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Maybe you just didn't have good enough popcorn, Lena. Did you ever think of that?
No, maybe. We have the best popcorn.
Oh, okay.
Well, then maybe you didn't have enough seasoning.
No, it has enough tahini and chamoy.
Wow.
And why don't you put on some butter?
I think we put on, like, some of that butter. Well, we made it...
And put on extra salt and stuff. You can put on all the seasonings in the world. You had to. Otherwise, you wouldn't have fallen asleep, including cayenne pepper, so that you would stay awake.
No, my whole entire family, including me, ate the popcorn, like, all the popcorn, like, that we had in the popcorn maker thing.
I love popcorn. You're making me hungry. But that's okay. I think it's okay to not like Harry Potter, even though it's the best thing ever. But it also gets better after the first book, I think. That's probably my least favorite of the books. But whatever. It's okay. I still like you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
I know you were nervous.
Lena!
Yes?
Come on!
Oh, okay.
admit to the Harry Potter fans again that you do not like it. Otherwise, they will come after you.
Fine, I don't like it. Yeah, I don't like it. But, like, personally, I didn't like it because, to me, it was boring. And also, I was, like, a five-year-old who wanted to watch, like, Sophia the First. Like,
why don't you start it now?
No, I started reading the books.
Movies, I mean, not the books.
Okay, okay. Thank you. Thank you for sparing me from the books.
Selena, do you have a book you want to talk about?
Yes. It's called TBH, This Is So Awkward. And so I'm going to read the back for you. Cecily, Panrika, and Gabby, CPG forever, have been BFFAE since birth. So they'd rather chat about life and their first boy-girl party without the new girl texting them all the time. They aren't exactly mean to her, but they aren't exactly nice. To be honest, mistakes are made. The emoji. The question is, where do they go from here? And then under that is like a texting of them like, craving more CPG forever. And then they show the next three books. And then the response is XOXO. Seriously, I don't know how Lisa does it. So that's what the book is about.
And this is in a series, right?
This is a series.
Yeah. And it's the first book?
Yeah, this is the first book, hopefully. Because then I've been reading, like, the wrong book. Yeah, this is the first book.
Have you read any of the other ones?
No, we got this at Barnes & Noble's, and the closest one is in Kingston.
I bet if you wanted to get another one, you could order it through Spotty Dog. Just saying. Or the library once we're able to lend stuff again.
Spotty Dog orders? Oh my god. I think I might have to actually consider that.
I'm just saying, you don't have to go to Kingston.
Yeah.
That's cool. So what do you like about that book?
So I like how it's, like, personally, like, so relatable because, like, they're, like, talking about life and the struggles of, I think they're sixth grade. I can't relate about that because I'm a fourth grader.
But you can still relate to some of it.
Yeah. And also, like, I can relate because, like, okay, so no one can tell my teachers about this, but
they might be listening. This is out on the radio.
No, get off my teachers. Okay, so I bring my phone to school, but I don't use it. Well, I use it in the bathroom sometimes to call my sister to tell me to pick me up because, like, I don't want to be an ASP, but, like, don't tell on me if you're one of my ASP counselors. I put it in my bag because, like, the rule is, like, if you have it for, like, more than 1 second, then you get called home, you get, like, a day off, which personally they should change that rule because, like, no one likes ASP, but, like, yeah,
only for more than 1 second. They should make it more than 3 minutes.
Yeah,
I think that's their way of saying don't take your phone out.
Well, any electronics after. Like, I'm jealous of my big sister and brother because they actually got to have their electronics out. But that was because, like, electronics were, like, actually a thing.
Then why don't you say to them, or teachers if you're listening, why don't you say, what if I only use it to help myself study? For example, what if I use it to review my notes, or what if I use it to jot something down, or what if I use it for calculators or stuff?
No, like, I don't think that's, like, what teachers would let you do. I don't think they would let you get away with that.
If you ever ride the bus there, maybe you can do it on the bus until you get there.
Usually I listen to music.
You're lucky that you even have a phone.
Yeah. So I listen to music on my way to the bus. There's this dumb rule that the school created where you're not allowed to have books or your phone out because apparently you're taking too long. And, like,
no books? That's crazy.
Yeah, like, I know, like, they should be supporting us actually learning. because, like, half of the times, like...
I'm going to report to the president.
Yeah. Like, they should actually let us have books out, like, phones. I get it. But, like, it's because we're taking too long in breakfast. And, like, in breakfast, you're supposed to, like, be able to chat with your friends or, like, eat or, like, chat with your friends or, like, do whatever you want before you're not able to have your phones out, books out. But, like, we're allowed to bring anything out when we're outside, which personally... I think that rule should change because, like, people are being reckless with the things that they bring out. For example, person brings out a toy, it gets stolen, but that doesn't happen in the cafeteria because it's not like we have, like, half of the school inside of it. Actually, we do. But, like, what I'm trying to say is that there are clumps of people outside.
In that book, it's written all in, like, text?
Yeah.
The whole book? Is it all text or are there emails or anything else?
It's like, there are emails and there are also notes. Like, I can show you guys, like, not the listeners.
Maybe you can read a bit too.
It says, "Oh, Gabs, I'm so mad we aren't reading lab partners this semester. I'm stuck with Talon Corbett. I know, Pri. I think Miss Marburn is split us up on purpose. Unfair! XOXO Gabs." And this
so, like, they're sharing notes in class.
Yeah. The next email is, "Hi, girls. I'm Miss Pine Lily's computer lab right now, and we're learning how to get our notes and homework off of the new school system they installed over break. You know what it's called? Sinesta. So fancy. But of course, I took a break to email you guys. I love you! Write back ASAP or text or see you on the bus. XOXO forever, Gabs. Dear myself, hi, Paprinka. How are you? I'm good, Paprinka. Nice to hear from you. Ha ha, I cracked myself up. Okay, time for New Year's resolutions. Basically, my New Year's resolutions is to make my bed every day, to clean so many laundries and freak, and pretty much be the most awesome girl on the grid. Love, Paprinka.
That's a big goal.
Yeah,
be the most awesome girl in the grid.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I could do that. Mm-hmm. I think I'm on this page.
That looks fun.
Yeah.
I recently listened to an audiobook, which I guess is technically an audiobook. It's interesting because I don't think it's ever been released as a book, but it's an audio story. So I think it counts as an audiobook. I don't know. Does it have to be a book first to be an audiobook? I don't know. But it's an audio play with multiple cast members doing the different voices, and it's all told through phone calls and voice messages. And the characters are a daughter in her, I think she's either upper 20s or young 30s, and she's living in California, and then her parents who live in Delhi, India. And a big part of it is the mother is very invested in her daughter getting married and finding a husband for her daughter. But then once her daughter finds a nice Indian boy that she wants to marry, her mom all of a sudden gets very nervous, and she thinks he has ill intentions, even though she's never met him. And there's, like, this old story that is tied in from her mom's past and her past. And it's a real thriller, and it's really exciting. But it's all told through messages, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. It's kind of like my book.
Mm-hmm. That's what made me think of it.
Okay.
It's different because instead of, like, written notes or messages, it's all sound, but similar idea. Have you ever read any books like that, AJ, that are told through diary entries or letters or?
Well, I have a book that's actually half and half.
Oh, yeah?
But do you mind if I don't share?
Yeah, that's fine. There's a series that I really liked called The Popularity Papers by Amy Ignatow, who is actually supposed to come to the book fest this year, and I was excited to meet her, but then it got canceled. And I've actually only read the first book in the series, I think. So the full title is The Popularity Papers, Research for the Social Improvement and General Betterment of Lydia Goldblatt and Julia Graham Chang. I'll just read you the description because I haven't read it in many years. Lydia Goldblatt and Julie Graham Chang are best friends with one goal, to crack the code of popularity. Lydia is the bold one, aspiring theater star, stick-fighting enthusiast, human guinea pig. Julie's the shy one, observer and artist, accidental field hockey star, faithful recorder. In this notebook, they write down their observations and carry out experiments to try to determine what makes the popular girls tick. But somehow, when Lydia and Julie try to imitate the popular girls, their efforts don't translate into instant popularity. Lydia ends up with a bald spot, their parents won't stop yelling, and Julie finds herself the number one crush of Roland Asbjornsen. Worse, they seem to be drifting farther and farther from their goal and each other. And so it's a book that's all told through this notebook that they keep together, kind of detailing their experiments and the results of their experiments. And if I'm remembering correctly, one of them writes all of the entries and one of them's the artist and like does all the drawings for it. But it's really fun and sounds similar to TBH in some ways.
Yeah.
I don't know why I never read the other ones. Looks like there's at least 5 books in the series. No, 6. 7. Whoa, they keep going. I'm really behind. There's as many books as Harry Potter's. Not as long, though, or as epic, as far as I know, but I haven't read them.
So, Emily, when you said that they're drifting farther apart from, like, each other and their goals, that just reminded me of, like, a part of my book. It's not really a big spoiler. Well, it's not really a spoiler at all. So one of the characters is moving and they try their best to like stay together.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
So in the TBH series, it turns out that there are at least 4 books. And I'm checking it out right now and I want to buy the first one.
Yeah, maybe I'll get to read some more of those. Could be fun. And maybe I'll read Popularity Papers Part 2.
Ooh.
But I wonder, it'll be interesting. I should try it and see if I'm able to dive in. Because I read that so long ago that I don't know how much I remember. But maybe it'll all come back to me because sometimes that's how it works. Yeah, it looks like it came out in 2010. I think I read it when it first came out. So it's been 10 years since I read the first one. See how good my memory is. We'll test it. But anyways, I think that's about all the time we have for today.
Yeah.
But we hope everyone out there listening has a wonderful week filled with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. And hopefully we'll have our nice friends, Amelia and Mashuda, with us. And maybe Fahim, too. Also a nice friend.
Yeah.
But have a great week. Happy reading.
Goodbye. Prometi não estremecer mais. Teu coração já nos provou não ter sustento pra suportar a erupção de uma voz incandescente como as lavas de um vulcão. Mas você petrificou tudo, tudo que se resolver, pois agora tô cantando mais que nunca o que aflora. Eu quero ser a sua trilha, quero tocar na sua
nos provou não ter sustento pra suportar. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
This past week, Rensselaer County renewed its contract with the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Office under the 287 agreement. Our partner station WOOC and correspondent Elizabeth Press spoke with Zach Ahmad and Melanie Trimble from the New York Civil Liberties Union about what this means.
Today we are talking about 287G with policy counselor for the New York Civil Liberties Union, Zach Ahmad, and Melanie Trimble, the New York Civil Liberties Union Capital Region Chapter Director. Thank you both for joining us on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine today.
Thank you for having us.
In general terms, what is 287G?
Sure. So the 287G program is a federal program created under federal immigration law. So it's a formal program that puts correction officers under the supervision of ICE supervisors and has them performing a number of immigration-related tasks, which could include issuing immigration detainers, which are pieces of paper asking that a person be held, detaining people for civil immigration purposes, inquiring and investigating people's immigration statuses who come into local jails, and transporting people on behalf of ICE. It essentially makes local officers de facto ICE agents and puts them under the control of ICE for certain purposes. Generally, local authorities do not have the authority to enforce immigration law absent the cooperation and direction of ICE. 287G is a program that allows them to do that.
Zach Ahmad, can you go into this a little bit further? Like, how did local law enforcement and ICE start these programs in collaboration?
The 287G program was created by federal law in 1996. ICE only has so many resources, and so it is beneficial to them when they can have the assistance of local authorities investigating immigration offenses and assisting them with immigration enforcement. We do not think that is the proper role of local authorities. The role of local authorities should be to serve their communities and enforce local laws and protect community well-being.
Here in Rensselaer County, we are the only county in New York State that participates in this 287G contract. Sheriff Russo just renewed this 287G contract. Melanie Trimble, could you talk about how specifically 287G affects us here in Rensselaer County?
Well, that's a very good question because we have found out very little information from the sheriff about its use. We don't know how many people have been captured by the program. We don't know how many officers are participating in the program. We don't know how much money the county is spending to participate in the agreement. All of this information was requested of the sheriff in a letter that we sent a few weeks ago. The sheriff acknowledged receipt of the letter, but never responded to the concerns that we had, despite our asking in several forms for a meeting. It's a little disconcerting to have a county official not answering questions that are coming from their constituents. And we certainly would welcome a conversation about how it's being used at the jail.
And Melanie Trimble, on behalf of the New York Civil Liberties Union, you had an opinion piece published in the Times Union this week ahead of the renewal. Is this in response for not getting a response from your direct communication with the sheriff's office?
Yes. We wanted to make it public that we have asked the sheriff for these specific questions about the program, and he has refused to answer. There are several community groups that are interested in having a conversation with the sheriff, and we hope to address that. Part of the agreement states that the sheriff will hold a public meeting to discuss the program with. That happened once, but it was not really a conversation. It was a PowerPoint presentation. And we would like to have a more thorough and robust conversation with the sheriff over the program.
One thing that stood out to me from your op-ed was a statement that said most law enforcement agencies recognize the 287G contract undermine public safety. I was wondering if you could speak to that.
As much as the sheriff assures us that it's only a correctional officer or two and that their jurisdiction will only be in the jail, it sends a chilling effect out into the community that there are some law enforcement individuals that are enforcing local law enforcement of immigration law. And it makes anybody, not even just people that are not documented, we're talking about anybody who looks a little different or sounds a little different, you know, is very afraid to interface with law enforcement because of the fact that they may be captured and held and maybe even shipped off to Batavia. And the mistakes have been made, particularly in Rensselaer County. And so we're very concerned. We do believe that having law enforcement participate in any capacity in a 287G agreement causes a lot of discomfort within the communities and discourages cooperation with law enforcement. It makes police officers' jobs more difficult to have people hide from them and not want to engage during investigations or even calling for emergency services.
How is community involvement and other 287G contracts, is there a usual way that is supposed to play out?
Community outreach is something that is embedded into every 287G agreement. There are provisions that require jurisdictions to hold steering committee meetings and to engage in other community outreach as appropriate. And this has been an area of critique over the 287G program. New York is not the only place where there's a lack of transparency. And in fact, the Department of Homeland Security's Office of Inspector General has specifically criticized the 287G program in the past for its lack of transparency and the failure to use the steering committee process to meaningfully engage members of the community. And that's something that at minimum needs to change. Certainly, we think the sheriff's office, which can sever the 287G agreement at any time, even though it was just renewed, what we want is for Rensselaer County to not engage in 287G and to withdraw from the contract. But while they're doing so, at the very least, they have to be engaging the community more meaningfully, holding regular meetings, allowing stakeholders to not just be present in the audience at a public meeting, but to actually have a seat at the table and share information and help shape how the 287G program is operating, if it needs to operate at all, which of course we do not think it does.
In the 2 years since Sheriff Russo made this deal with ICE, it seems like there's not a lot of information. Public safety, you're saying, is a concern, especially for immigrant families. And it also has been said that there's drain on local resources. Could you speak to that last point? Who pays for 287G?
That is one of the pieces where we'd like there to be more transparency because there is some mixed information. But what's important to note is that counties do not get paid to participate in the 287G program. This is not something that is in any way some kind of revenue raiser for the county. There are certain costs associated with attending trainings. There are certain equipment upgrades that are required in order to install the software that ICE needs to use to effectuate immigration enforcement at the local level. But I think what's important to note is that when we're talking about resources, we're not just talking about literal dollars and cents that are cost to the county. We're talking about the way in which the county's attention and the sheriff's office's attention is diverted from other matters. When they are deciding voluntarily to engage in this program that no other law enforcement agency in the state is engaging in, to deputize their officers to perform immigration law, they are necessarily taking those officers' attention away from what should be their core duties and having them focus on immigration law instead. And immigration law is something that's very complex. That is why there's certain training required under 287G, but really the minimal training that's required under the program is not sufficient to learn immigration law. And so there's also a possibility of mistakes being made and exposed risk for the county as a result of that.
Thanks for explaining that, Zach. Now, Zach Ahmed or Melanie Trimble, is there anything else that you want to make sure that we cover here today?
Well, we just want to remind people, too, that just because he signed the agreement doesn't mean that we can't continue to call for its for backing out of it. Stay tuned. We're certainly going to do the best that we can to try and get the information out of the sheriff's office and get that information out to the public.
I would just say that what we've talked about already in terms of the community trust that is necessary for local officers to do their jobs and that's undermined by 287G is especially critical in the current moment, because we are living in a moment in which the government is providing a number of services to the public for public health purposes. You know, things like testing for COVID-19, contact tracing, other services that are going to be necessary to fight the coronavirus pandemic, and that it's especially important that all members of the community feel comfortable interacting with the government in order for those efforts to be effective. And so when you have something like 287G in place, it sends a message that unfortunately causes a level of distrust, which is particularly harmful in the current environment. So I just want to elevate that.
That was the New York Civil Liberties Union Policy Counsel Zach Ahmad and Melanie Trimble of the New York Civil Liberties Union Capital Region Chapter Director speaking with Elizabeth Press. For more information on the New York Civil Liberties Union Capital Region, you can call 518-436-8594.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
It's just that I happen to be watching this online Facebook live performance from the Rosendale Library from last week. And it was Introducing the Theremin with Carl Weldon on Facebook Live from the Rosendale Public Library in Rosendale, New York. And I, you know, pulled out this release saying, oh, this would be great to listen to. And so we heard it. We listened to Carla Rockmore from the release The Art of the Theremin. And we heard Sanson, the Swan.
Cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times. The type of memories that turn your bones to glass. Turn your bones to glass. Mother came rushing in. She said we didn't see a thing. We said we didn't see a thing. And father left at 8. Nearly splintering the gate. Cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times. The type of memories that turn your bones to glass. Turn your bones to glass. Though you were just a little squirrel, you understood every word. And in this way, they gave you clarity, a cold-blooded clarity. Cold-blooded old time. Cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times. Now how can I stand and laugh with the man who redefined your body? How can I stand and laugh with the man who redefined your body? In those cold-blooded old times, cold-blooded old times, cold-blooded old times.